This morning is our Faith Promise Sunday, this month of missions for us here at New Life. This really is the culmination of it all, the Faith Promise, what we sense the Lord would have us to do by way of giving to missions throughout the coming year that will be 2026. If New Life is your church home, has been your church home for any length of time, you know this. I hope you know this. If not, you will come to know this. We believe in missions here at New Life. It's a core value for us. Missions is a part of who we are, a part of our identity, a part of the culture here. If asked if you go to church, you say you do. You say you go to New Life. Inevitably, that response is followed by this question then, what kind of church is that? It's true, you could respond in a number of different ways. One of the ways would surely be, one of the ways would hopefully be, we're a missions church. A church about missions. We believe in missions here. Ultimately, we do because we believe that missions is the mandate of the church. Every church, this church, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We believe that that command given to Jesus's disciples then is still his command for us, his disciples now. We believe that at least in part, even really in large part, our very reason for being is that through us, this great command, this great commission of Matthew 28 might be fulfilled. We believe in missions here because we believe that the unfinished task of missions is really the only reason why we're still here on this earth. In 2 Peter chapter 3, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Do you understand? Listen, it really is true. Jesus hasn't come back yet because God hasn't decided that it's time yet, because the task of making disciples isn't completed yet. God's being patient, still not wanting anyone to perish, still his heart that from every nation, everyone would come to repentance. We believe that. We believe that we're still here on this earth rather than in heaven because of missions, because of God's desire and God's plan that through us, our praying, our giving, our going, our doing, still others, still more might come to repentance. We believe that. We believe in missions. We value missions. We prioritize missions here. We do missions here. We give to missions here. We set aside this month of November for all that, for missions. Really for the purpose, ultimately, that God would instill in our hearts an even greater passion for missions, an even more ingrained culture and identity of missions, an even greater commitment to missions, to the Great Commission, an even greater involvement in missions, praying more. Each one of us praying more, going more, giving more. Each one of us more and more and more of that. That's really what missions looks like for us, how we do missions here at New Life. How do we do missions together as a church family? We pray. The clear mandate of Scripture, God's house is to be a place of prayer. God's people are to be a people of prayer. We pray even as the Lord taught us to pray. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's will that none perish. We pray that as his will is done in heaven, so it would be done here on earth. We pray that his kingdom would grow. We pray that revival would come. We pray that lives would be saved. We pray that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue would come to repentance. We pray. But, and probably this would be true in all things related to our Christianity, rarely even, in fact, I would dare say, never do we just pray. We go. We do something. We volunteer. We serve. We teach. We witness. We tell others what Jesus has done for us, what he could do for them. Just to highlight one of the folks here in the church without meaning to embarrass them by any means, Aaron has been doing quite a bit of witnessing on the Facebook. I'm not sure if you're there. You'll have to find him if you are. Better yet, take time next Sunday and spend a few minutes with Aaron to hear his story and let him share his testimony. Maybe one time we'll do it even together. Aaron's been witnessing on Facebook some great theological discourse that he's presenting? No. Some great description and interpretation of great portions of Scripture? No, there's some Bible verses on there, but not really that. Some great apologetic defense of the faith? No. Even some great, elaborate, eloquent prayer leading people into the faith? No, not that. You'll check it out. It's simply Aaron telling all that would read what Jesus has done for him. How Jesus has saved, how Jesus has helped, how Jesus has delivered, and how Jesus would do the same for them. We witness, we tell others what Jesus has done for us, what he could do for them. We give away food on the third Monday of a month. We help. We visit in the hospital. We share a meal. We send a card. We encourage. We speak life and love to one that's hurting, one that's struggling. We do something. We find some way to minister to people so that they might know him, so that they might be drawn closer to him. We pray, but we don't just pray. We go and we give. That's this morning. Let me share with you a few thoughts this morning on giving, and then we'll conclude specifically with the giving of the faith promise, our giving to missions, maybe more specifically, better to say, our commitment to give to missions in the coming year. First, this morning, we are still in our year-long series on the truth. So we'll call this the truth on giving. Let me share with you a few things here. First, this, when it comes to giving, when it comes to missions giving, remember last Sunday, remember stewardship. Remember it all belongs to him, all of it, everything. Let me just say it the way that it is this morning. Your money belongs to him. It's his money. Listen, all the time in all things, you should be sensitive then as to what the Lord would be having you to do, what you should and shouldn't be doing with his money. Listen, all the time in all things, you should be a good steward of what belongs to him that he's put in and under your care. That's true. Listen now, though, in moments like this, missions, the ministry of the church, by which the church goes into our Jerusalem, our Judea and Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the world. In moments like this, missions, the making of disciples of all nations, every tribe, every tongue, teaching them to walk in his way, to obey his commands. In moments like this, in missions, so that none perish, so that his name is glorified, so that his kingdom would ever grow. In moments like this, listen, in missions, how much more, how even more, we have need to be good stewards. We have need to be sensitive as to what the Lord would have us to do, what we should be doing with his money. I believe it. I believe it to be the will of the Lord for everyone in this room, that you, my brother, that you, my sister, that each and every one of us, his will, his word to us, his command for us, we would give something to missions. Let me caution you, my brother, my sister. Be careful of telling God no. No, you're not going to do that with His money. Listen, be a good steward. The second thing this morning, the truth on giving. Listen now, it's true. You can't outgive God. When it comes to giving to Him, when it comes to the tithe that He demands of you, when it comes to the offerings that He asks of you, when it comes to the prompting of His Spirit to help, to bless a brother, a sister, a friend, a neighbor, a colleague, a complete stranger, when it comes to the prompting of His Spirit to give something to them, when it comes to the special gift that you'd give for the ministries of the church, to supply groceries to those in need, to provide a free meal to a veteran in honor of them, when it comes to the change that you would put in the kids' buckets as they come around on the last Sunday of the month to take up their own missions offering, their BGMC offering. Listen, whatever you've given in response to the Lord as an act of worship to the Lord, in honor of the Lord, whatever you've given, whatever you would give, down to the very penny, listen, you can't outgive Him. All of it, every dollar and dime, every nickel, every penny, all of it. He sees it, He knows it, and He's determined and decided. Listen, He's declared in His Word, it's the truth. He won't ever let you give more to Him than He's given to you. Listen, as this morning we consider giving in just a few minutes, very specifically our missions giving, make sure you hear and believe this truth. Make sure your giving is a reflection of you living in this truth. Listen now. Speaking specifically of giving to those in need, Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Caring for the poor is lending to the Lord, and you will be well repaid. The Living Bible says it this way. When you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and He pays wonderful interest on your loan. There's been talk of late President Trump is going to give us all some money next year. Dividends paid from tariff investments. Listen, it's the truth this morning. Forget the government. There's no one that pays dividends like the Lord pays dividends. If you Google it, it'll show up as the top performing stock this year to date. Invested in it, your money would have tripled. Listen, forget Wall Street. You want your money to perform well for you? Give it to the poor. Lend it to the Lord. Invest in the work of His kingdom. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The verse speaks specifically of the tithe, our obedience in giving the Lord that. I believe Scripture would reveal to us it applies to all our giving. Listen, do you understand? In just a few minutes then, with that faith promise that you received when you came in, you're going to have opportunity to open the floodgates of heaven over your life. You're going to have opportunity for blessing you won't be able to count nor contain. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, for if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. Listen, it really is true. No matter what you've given, no matter how much, no matter how generous you are or have ever been, God will always outgive you. God will always give back to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Listen, God will always give back to you in a running over kind of way. The truth I'm giving. Still two more things. This, the truth. Listen now. It's better to give than to receive. That's what we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. We must remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The Good News translation says it this way. Jesus himself said, there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. The God's Word translation says, giving gifts is more satisfying than receiving them. On this All About Giving Sunday, on this Missions Giving Sunday, do you hear that truth? Do you believe it? Are you living in it? Listen, it's the truth. It's better to give than to receive. Not changing the verse, not diminishing in any way the receiving part. We're in fact going to stop halfway and say it this way this morning. It's just better to give. It's just better for you to give. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24 says this, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. As it relates to missions, in just a few minutes, when you have opportunity to fill out the faith promise, the way that we do missions giving here at New Life, I won't be able to tell you, I can't tell you what to give, the how much. That's really between you and the Lord. But as to whether or not you should or shouldn't, listen, on the authority of God's word, the truth, I can tell you, it's better for you if you do give. More than it being just about you. Listen, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do you understand? It's every offering, every act of giving. It's this morning. It's our missions giving. You have opportunity to do what's better, and in that, what pleases Him. The truth on giving, fourth thing this morning. In your giving, when you give, you're making an investment. In fact, better to say it the way it really is, you're making an eternal investment. This from the Living Bible, Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. Sell what you have and give to those in need. This will fatten your purses in heaven. And the purses of heaven have no rips or holes in them. Your treasures there will never disappear. No thief can steal them. No moth can destroy them. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their pride and trust must be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity, and they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. It's not the only way, but it certainly is a way that you bear fruit while here, that you store up for yourself treasure in heaven. It's your giving. Each and every Sunday, even, it's your missions giving this Sunday. And with that, so incredibly powerful and important for us this as well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, your heart will be where your riches are. Do you understand? Our giving, our eternal investment helps us to ensure that our hearts are set on heaven. Do you understand what Jesus does here? You can't just say your heart is set on heaven. Jesus demands that you show that it's set on heaven. And how do we do that? We show it by way of our treasure, where our treasure is, our giving, our eternal investment, or a lack thereof, is the true indicator of whether or not our hearts truly are set on eternity, set on heaven. In our American, it's all about the money culture, this becomes quite the indictment against us, even us as Christians. A little bit lengthy, let me share with you this article that I recently read. One has said the real measure of our wealth is how much we would be worth if we lost all our money. They were right. Earthly riches or the lack of them has nothing to do with real wealth. The only treasure that matters is the treasure you lay up in heaven. Jesus taught that. It's a mandate from him, not a recommendation. We are to invest in eternity. What an appropriate message for a culture like ours. People in our society are wealthier than any civilization in the history of man. Sadly, they rapidly squander their blessings on things that cannot last. If our treasure reveals the condition of our hearts, this generation is in serious spiritual trouble. Our buying habits show little concern for anything of eternal value. Americans are spending a significant portion of their income on luxury items and recreation, and they are spending it fast. They pursue the good life, but there is no good life you can buy, no matter how much money you have. Statistics indicate the more money you have, the more likely you are to commit suicide. Life expectancy decreases as income increases. Money adds to stress, and that in turn takes years off your life. One study shows that wealth also intensifies moral decline and family disintegration. Marital infidelity and divorce rates rise with income levels. Obviously, money cannot buy happiness. The Apostle Paul was on target when he wrote, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith." Well, obsession with money incites crime, destroys families, wrecks lives. The ultimate price for loving temporal things is eternal damnation. The author continues, perhaps the saddest observation of all is that the spending habits of people in the church differ little from those of the world. The lifestyles of most professing Christians are not substantially different from anyone else's. Too many in the church have adopted the world's indulgent attitude toward money. Almost every form of materialistic extravagance and excess has found its way into the fellowship of believers. It's as if the church has forgotten Jesus' mandate to invest in eternity. When money lovers creep into the pulpit to steal from the treasury, it's an obvious scandal. But isn't the money lover in the pew, the person who refuses to give it all, just as disgraceful? One study of several denominations revealed a gradual decline in giving over 17 years, though average income increased sharply in that time period. Material riches are proving to be a spiritual liability. Christians now have more money at their disposal than at any time in human history, but they proportionally invest far less in the kingdom. Hosea 13 and verse 6 sums up this tragic disparity. Being satisfied, their hearts became proud, therefore they forgot me. When we become prosperous, we become proud, then we forget God. Frankly, for most people, persecution is easier to endure than prosperity. In other words, there's a clear connection between your attitude toward money and your spiritual health. Where you invest your treasure reveals where you have set your trust and affections. The conclusion: do you want to take your spiritual temperature? Look at your checkbook. Where are you investing your treasure? That's where your heart really is. God does not give you riches to hoard, but to use for his glory. True enjoyment of wealth comes not from possessing it, but from investing it as God intended in things that count for eternity. Do you understand? Listen, hear the reminder this morning. When you give, you're making an investment in eternity. That's the truth. Hear that. Be challenged by that. Listen to truth. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Listen, my brother, my sister, don't forget your God. You trust him. Your affection is toward him. So then invest your treasure as he intended in the eternal things, in the things that count for eternity. And let me include this as well. Remember, there's coming a day when you will receive your eternal reward for your eternal investment. The story is told, missionaries that had served in Africa for some 40 years returning to America, their ministry done. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were tired. Then travel was by boat. Along their journey from Africa to New York, they discovered President Theodore Roosevelt was on the boat with them. No wonder then the fanfare when they arrived to the harbor. But there was no one there to receive the missionaries, no one there to celebrate their faithful service. The couple slipped off the boat unnoticed, off to a cheap room in the city, figuring out their future. The husband was broken by it all. In the end, his response, God's not treating us fairly. His wife's advice, go and talk to the Lord about that. He did, and returned a short time later, his countenance changed. What happened, his wife asked. I talked to the Lord, said the husband. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, but you're not home yet. Listen, my brother, my sister, you'll be home one day. And on that day, oh, the celebration that will be yours. On your behalf, what fanfare there will be because of you, because of all that you invested in and for eternity. One says, no one regrets at the hour of death that he had felt too much, given too much, or done too much for Christ or to save souls. Listen, it's true. In eternity, you'll not regret one investment made for eternity. All that, it's just the first thing this morning, the truth on giving. Second, this morning, we'll call it this, it's the understanding of giving. Correct giving. Scriptural giving. It's the tithe first. The tithe is the Lord's. It's the 10% that belongs to Him. Really, all of it is His. The 10% is just all He wants back. And we give Him that. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen. According to Scripture, we rob from God if and when we keep that. So we don't keep it. We give the 10% to the local church. If New Life is your church home, you give the 10% here. It's the tithe first. The offering in addition then to the tithe. Giving doesn't just stop with the 10%. Listen, church, this is true. Let me encourage you. Let me caution you, my brother, my sister, listen, consider your taxes, what you pay the mechanic, what you want to spend for the appliance you need. Listen, the minimum is the best. Sure it is. Of course it is. Don't give the government any more than you have to. If the mechanic is expensive, find one that isn't. Don't buy it at Myers if you can get it cheaper at Walmart. Don't pay. Don't spend more than you have to. Listen to me though, my brother, my sister. Listen to me, New Life. Don't bring that kind of thinking though into the kingdom life. In the kingdom, kingdom giving, the minimum is not the best. Instead, we're to be generous. We're to be governed by generosity. So we give the tithe. We're not going to rob from God after all. And we give our offerings. Because in the kingdom, as citizens of the kingdom, we're always looking for ways to give more, not less. We give the tithe. We give our offerings. Today, very specifically, we give to missions. We commit to a missions offering. And then we're careful to be good stewards of all the rest. All the rest of the money, all the rest of the treasure, all the rest that's still His, but that He's left with us in our care. Listen, my brother, my sister, be careful with that. Have a plan for that. Budget that right and well. Be careful of being indebted to anyone. Don't spend more than you make. Be careful how you spend. Invest in your future. Prepare for your retirement when you won't work, when you can't work. And on the list would go if this were a financial seminar. It's not. So we summarize quickly. Be a good steward. Listen, be faithful with the tithe, the 10% that's His. Be generous with your offering and be careful and do good with all the rest. Finally, this morning we finish. The truth on giving, the understanding of giving, and the reason for giving. There's many, right? The Bible is clear. We've seen it already. The reason you give is to be obedient to God. The reason that you give is so that you might not be a thief. Stealing from Him. Not my words. They're His. It's the truth. The Bible is clear. The reason you give is to lend to the Lord. To help the poor. As it relates to the church, you give for the, how else to say it, but the expenses of the church, the care of the church. If there's no giving, we're in the dark right now, without heat. If there's no giving, there's no this, at least not here, at least not like this. A lot of reasons. But again, this is Mission Sunday, so it's okay for us to focus in and on this, to prioritize this. This is why you give, for the sake of missions. For the sake of this mandate, once more, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is why you give. Your money sends missionaries. Your money buys materials. Your money enables ministry. Your money translates into souls. This last Wednesday, we had missionary Flynn Clanton with us. Flynn is a missionary with Network 21-1, an internet ministry. Flynn is specifically a missionary with that ministry for the Spanish-speaking world. Amazing the numbers of people that are accessing their website, wanting to know more about Jesus. They've calculated every dollar allows you to present the gospel to 21 people. $100 reaches 2,100 people. Of those that you're reaching with the gospel, statistically, 390 will click the button to make a response. On average, 12 of those will go a step further to give their contact information, seeking a personal follow-up, and ultimately seeking to be connected to a church. They say it this way: to go from searches to churches, it costs $8.20. $8.20, statistically speaking, will take one from the search to the church. $8.20. Do you understand? Do you see? Surely you do. Your money translates into souls. The reason for this Sunday, the reason for asking you to make a commitment to give, whether it be every Sunday, once a month, however you choose to do it, whatever the amount you feel the Lord would have you to give, the reason, so that souls might be saved. The faith promise, it's the card you received when you came in this morning. It's easy enough to see how it works. You fill out the one side, what you've committed to give, whether you give that weekly or monthly, tear that off. If New Life has been your church home for any length of time, you know that here we turn those in by bringing them to the altar. For those that are ready, since they know already what God would have them to give, we'll do that in a few minutes. The other side, it's the smaller side, you keep that. You tuck it away in your Bible, your wallet, your checkbook, it's the reminder for you. You might need the reminder because we won't bug you about it. I'll remind from Sunday to Sunday the church family, hey church, don't forget your missions giving, but we'll never chase you down. We'll never send the collection agency after you. So it's good that you keep close the reminder so you remember your commitment to give. Missions giving happens by way of that faith promise. Let me reiterate, let me remind you, it's a faith promise. It's giving that happens by faith. Watch this. Some of you might be immediately inclined to say you can't. You don't have any money to spare. In fact, you are the best candidate then for missions giving because it's faith giving. It's trusting that what you sense God wants you to give, He will provide for you to give. Here's what happens because it's a faith promise then. Two groups of people here today. Those that would say, I've got money to give. There's room in my budget for missions. So what happens? They're going to give to missions. Missions and missionaries, it's what we do here after all. Then there are those that would say, I can't give. There's absolutely no room in my budget. What happens? Because it's a faith promise, they're going to give. It's not about the money I have. After all, it's a faith promise. It's rather about the faith that I have that God will provide. Say that to say this, we here at New Life believe that everyone can and should give to missions. It's always been the message. Always it will be the message. Everyone at New Life gives. We preach that. We believe that. We believe it because it's faith-giving. And as a people of God, we must surely be a people of faith. We also believe it because we believe that everyone has something to give. We maybe all can't give $100 a month. Maybe we can't give $50 a month or $25 a month, but maybe we could give $5 a month. We all have something to give. We believe it because we also believe we all have something to give up. I get worried about that in my own life, worried about it in the lives of others. So quick with the thought, we can't give. We don't have any money to give. But then a search through the checkbook, the credit card receipts. Oh, but I had money for that. And for that, and for that. You know, if I just hadn't gone there that day and spent $5 for that coffee, for those fries, for that drink in that store, I'd have $5 to give to missions this month. Everyone at New Life can give. Everyone should give. We're a people of faith, after all. And we all have something to give or something to give up. Once more, it's a faith promise. Because it's that every year of missions comes this by way of instruction, if you will. Don't fill out your faith promise before you first heard from the Lord. Let Him instruct you as to your giving, specifically the amount of it. I believe this with all my heart. If you would seek the Lord, if you would spend time with Him in prayer, ask of Him as to what you should give, I believe it, He'll speak to you. You would hear from Him not just His desire for you that you would give, but even as well what He would have you to give. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen to the Lord. With that instruction, also always this, be generous. Be cheerful in your giving. Remember this, the truth, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Listen to the Lord. Be willing to give. Give something. Be generous. Be cheerful. Be encouraged to step out in faith, to be stretched in your faith. It's a faith promise, after all. Ultimately, the instruction, the encouragement, do something. My brother, my sister, listen, give something. In 2 Kings chapter 7, Israel is under siege. Nothing is coming in, nothing's going out. The people are starving. It's horrific to read of the starvation in the nation and ultimately in the city. Four lepers at the city gate decide, let's not stay here and starve to death. Let's give ourselves up to the enemy army. If they kill us, well, we were going to die anyways. And their death is likely to be better, quicker at least, than a starvation one. If they let us live, well, then we live. When they arrive to the camp, it's empty. Do you remember this story? The Lord has scattered the enemy. They've run away and left everything behind. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 8. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver and gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Do you get the picture? Starving, about to die, all of a sudden, not anymore. There's eating and drinking and gold and silver and clothes and all they would ever want. And you get the picture, right? They're in one tent and they take it all and hide it all away. And then they're in the next tent. You know, they're going to go to the next tent and the next and the next and the next. But in fact, they don't. Then they said to each other, we shouldn't be doing this. We have good news. And we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. They do, and the conclusion then in verse 16, then the people went out and plundered the camp of the enemy. There was no more enemy. There was no more siege of the city. There was no more hunger. There was no more starvation. Only the feasting and the wealth and the riches of the plunder. Only the celebration of victory. Four lepers who sure enjoyed what they found when they found the enemy's camp deserted. Four lepers who decided, we have good news to tell. And this good news, we can't keep it to ourselves. You understand. My brother, my sister, you have good news to tell. You dare not. You cannot. New Life, listen to me. We dare not. We cannot. Surely we won't. You, my brother, surely you won't. You, my sister, surely you won't. New Life, surely we won't keep it to ourselves. This morning, then, the encouragement, give. Give something so that the good news you have can be shared with others, even everyone, everywhere. Lord, I pray this morning. I think of it over the years, Lord, each and every one of these November Faith Promise Sundays, the prayer of this pastor, and I believe it, the prayer of this people, that Lord, you would help us. You would lay on our hearts that we would be more missions-minded and missions-hearted than we've ever been before. That the culture here, the identity here, would be more missions than it's ever been before. God, that you would help us, that you would give us a passion for missions. You'd give us a passion for the lost. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the rest of the world, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You would give us a passion, a heart for people that need Jesus. Or we pray it once more this Sunday. We understand missions is not all about giving. So, Lord, we pray ultimately, give us a bigger, a greater heart for missions. But, Lord, it's on this Sunday that we also recognize missions is about giving. And so, Lord, it's our prayer. Our prayer continues, really. It's just more of the same. Lord, help us to give more than we've ever given before. Jesus, I pray that you've taken the words that I've shared and spoken, implanted them deep in our hearts. That God, there's a newfound appreciation for giving to you and to the work of your kingdom. Help us to never forget the truth on giving. Help us to hear it and believe it and live in it. Lord, help us to understand scriptural, biblical giving, the tithe, the offering, the good stewardship of all the rest. Lord, help us to understand this morning like we've never understood before, the reason for giving. Souls are at stake. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, really the valley of judgment. Lord, we give this morning so that they might be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I invite you just a few minutes. We're going to be done this morning. In just a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to have the time that you need to just spend with the Lord. Seek Him. Don't you hear from Him? If you're ready, if you're not, better that you take that faith promise home with you and pray about it throughout the week. Bring it next Sunday or the Sunday after. But as soon as you are ready and you sense that the Lord has spoken to you, I'm going to invite you to bring that faith promise to the altar and just lay it at the altar. That's what we do here. No usher will collect the faith promise here. But we bring it to the Lord. We lay it on the altar. It's our offering to Him this morning. Jesus, the time now is yours for you to speak to our hearts. And let us to know what you would have us to do in the coming year for missions. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name.